Well, I think he's a guy that when they started that new Hall of Fame thing up there where people that have been involved in racing, he should be in there. He should have been the first one in there. He's he was the most gracious owner and competitive owner that I ever had. He was just he was like the perfect owner. You know, he was just one of these guys that understood the game, was loved the compete, but at the same time, he was, you know, we'd get beat in a big race, I'd be upset, I'd want to, you know, say something or whatever, and he just pulled me right up and said, "Robert, that was a fine effort," you know, and that's how he would say. And he was just, you know, really a nice man. He's just a really genuine nice man, and never had any, you know, everybody rooted for him, you know, in this business. You know, these guys, they win a lot of races pretty soon, you know, they sort of get tired of him. But Bob was that kind of guy. Nobody ever, you know, they always rooted for him. They were happy when he won, and he was the first one to congratulate the other people when they won. So very rare, just very rare in this game, a guy like him. He's just a once-in-a-lifetime kind of owner.
Real sense of positivity to him. Like you said, he always seemed to be, he was always in a good mood, win or lose, and he was always glass, I wouldn't even say half full, but glass three quarters full all of the time.
Well, I mean, he was competitive, but he was a great salesman, and he knew he could have been a politician, because he remembered everybody's name. Great memory. I mean, everybody's name. And and he was very, like, you know, he was one of these guys. I could have bought a horse for him for $200,000-$300,000, and then when I finally got him to the races, if he was in for maiden $32,000 or $40,000, and he won and they claimed him, he'd say, "Well, okay, Bob, that's good." Never asked me why we were dropping him. He just knew that, you know, he was a horse that, you know, wasn't quite the caliber that he needed to run in that spot. He didn't want you to run your horse over their heads, you know. So, and he was just very, he ran like a business, you know. And so, and after he was, you know, these mares, we'd buy these mares with big pedigree. They'd win stakes, grade ones, make $500,000-$700,000, put them in fold AP, and he'd sell them for $4 or $5 million. And he just put it right back in there. I mean, he ran it like a business, and he knew it was a numbers game, and he had, you know, different trainers. He used different trainers. You know, Wayne and I were always had the most horses with him, but he really enjoyed it, and he sort of liked pitting Lucas and me together, which was good. It was a good combination there, but he was just a genuine kind of guy.
And that late run, you talk about fellow Hall of Famer and good friend, Dwayne Lucas, that run that Bob and Beverly Lewis had in the late 90s, starting with Serena Song, ending with Charismatic, and of course, you're smack dab in the middle. You just come off of an unbelievable beat in the 96 Derby with Cavanier and your first real foray into the Triple Crown, and then Silver Charm comes along and you have the luxury of training him for Bob. Talk about that experience with him, not only your first taste of something you'd eventually do twice, but being able to do that with the Lewises.
Yeah, actually, I just bought Silver Charm that week when I had Cavanier in the Derby, and I just bought him. I really didn't have a client for him, and so I was looking for one for him, and all of a sudden, Bob Lewis calls me up and just said, he'll say, "Hey, Robert," you always call me Robert. He said, "Robert, how are you? What's going on?" He said, "Oh, matter of fact, I just bought this horse, $85,000. I'm looking for a name." "Really?" I says, "Well, yeah, I think it's pretty nice. You always got a name called Silver Charm and all that." He said, "Okay, I'll take him." You know, and so that's how I got him. I mean, it was like, and it worked out, and he won the Del Mar Futurity, and he wasn't Breeders' Cup eligible, so we didn't take him to Canada. The Breeders' Cup was in Canada, so I backed off on him there, freshened him up, and then there were some people trying to buy the horse. They made some offers, and they came and looked at him, and they didn't buy him. And later he says, "Well, I'm glad I didn't sell that horse, because if he would have won the Kentucky Derby, I might have just quit the business. I would have been so dejected, you know, because
wow,
so hard to get there, you know." But you know, I've always thought that things work out for a reason. And Silver Charm, he was just a white collar horse that really didn't have a great pedigree, but he was a very noble horse, and he just loved competition. He would not, if you hooked him, he would not let you pass. And he would have won the Triple Crown, but Chris McCarron rode a just extremely smart race and let Freehouse and him go at it, and he just took back, and he weighed and came way, way around us, way outside, and that's how he beat us. Silver Charm never got to see him.
They renamed one of the races on the Triple Crown Trail out at Santa Anita, the Robert B. Lewis. They're going to run it this Saturday. What would it mean for you to win a race named after Bob?
Well, I've been fortunate to win it. It's very exciting, but it's sort of sad at the same time because, you know, there's nobody around. And so, but it's you know, we'll always think of him. I always think about him because every time I go to the Derby, I think about Bob, because, you know, there was great thrills to go with him, and we just had so much fun, and I was close with his family, and it was just a lot of, you know, one thing when you have a really good horse in this business, you get to know everybody really well, and, you know, you get closer, just like with the American Pharoah, the Zayed family, and just was Justified, the Windstar, the Trouts, everybody involved. You know, you just become, it's like this team, you know, and so it just brings a lot of great memories.
It's amazing when you think back. That was over 20 years ago, Silver Charm. There's the 23-year anniversary. Do you look back and wonder, you know, sometime, and the Lewises have been gone for a while, but do you ever look back and just think where the time went?
I wonder where all the money went. It was, every time I look at my trophy case, I go, there's a lot of trophies, but I don't have a lot of money to pack those trophies up. But no, you know what? It's just the racing is a journey, you know, because we have to give it so much of our time, you know, so much devotion. And so, you know, it racing, if you're in it, it consumes your life, and you never get a chance to really, you know, I haven't had a chance to really stop and smell the roses. Only in May, you know, so, but it's really, you don't think about it, and then, you know, these races come up, you stop, you know, I remember when Bob was gone, and we won it, and Beverly, his wife, would show up, and she'd be there, and, you know, it was exciting, and now there's really nobody there to really, it's sort of got out of the business, so it's like, it's still an honor to see his name out there, because, he'll always be remembered. I mean, he was just the most greatest sportsman in racing history ever. He was just really, really good. And I remember Silver Charm when he crossed the wire, when he got beat in the Triple Crown. I was upset because he didn't see the other horse. And I was ready to go. What's the name of that cowboy in California? I can't think of his name. I felt like him, that's not fair, you know, but, it's just one of those things where Bob, you know, he kept me in check. He kept me in check there, and, you know, he taught me a lot. He was very, he had a great business mind, but every time I had an issue or something, I'd ask him about it. He helped me through a lot of just private issues and stuff. So he was like a fatherly figure also.
Good to have somebody like that in your corner. You'll take two shots at the race named after Bob Lewis on Saturday. 1,000 words. Got the money in the Grade 2 Los Alamitos Futurity, Last Time Out, and High Velocity. That High Velocity for the Wests, 1,000 words for Spendthrift and the Albaugh family. Talk about 1,000 words. That was a gutsy effort, his first start around two turns in the Los Al Futurity Last Time Out.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive because, you know, you break their main going short, you send them long, and they run as well as he did. That's, you know, that's like a McKenzie move right there. And so, one of those things where I think this race will really help him. He's a horse that he's just a big, long, striding horse, sort of grinds it out. But he's doing really well. This has set him up for the next one. So, and high velocity, I really thought, I was sort of disappointed him at Los Alamos. I thought he would run much better than that. He really disappointed me. He got hot in the paddock. He got rank in the race. He was just never relaxed, never dropped a bit, and he just came up empty. But I was going to run him next week in the San Vicente 7-8. But the way he worked this week, I think he deserves another chance at going two turns. And he's bred for it. So hopefully, I think, he'll run a bigger race.
High velocity, second time, third place finish in that Los Alamitos Futurity. The Baffert Brigade of three-year-olds goes well beyond 1,000 words and high velocity. How are the rest of them doing? And I guess we have to start with Nadal, who turned a lot of heads when he broke his maiden at First Asking.
Yeah, he was very, he's a big, heavy horse, big, strong horse, but we've always been very high on him from day one. And so he finally made it to the races, and he looked really impressive. So, we'll see his next race. I think the second race is the most important race because they have to come back and see if they can do it again. And we'll wait a few weeks and get him in a race. And I was maybe hoping to run him here in some allowance race, or I'll have to take him to Oaklawn. But we'll just, like I said, keep him happy. And it's not too late for him because he's a month ahead of Justify's schedule. So that's good. And Authentic, my other horse, is the one that, he's like 1,000 words. He's proven, he's proven two turns. And that's the thing, and proven two turns and has the class and ability to keep it going. So I'm pretty excited about him.
All right, well, we appreciate some time today. Thanks for looking back on Mr. Lewis with us and looking ahead to the Robert B. Lewis this Saturday at Santa Anita. Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. Bob, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you again.
Thank you.